OpenServe is more than just SA's largest telecoms infrastructure provider. It's the answer to new ways of doing business, a connection to cutting-edge technology and infinite possibilities, a connection to tomorrow. Connect with us at openserve.co.za.
This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 233 for the week starting 2 September 2018. Where has this year gone?
Spring is here. Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. WhatsApp the show on 071-999-1111.
On Talk Central this week, Sipiwe Nyanda starting claims about why he was fired by Jacob Zuma.
Also this week, USASA in crisis. Nigeria shoots itself in the foot over MTN. And right on cue, Apple invites journalists to a special event.
It's Sunday, it's 1 p.m. and it's time to talk everything tech.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rehat?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Spring is here. It's warm outside, but the wind is still blowing.
Yeah. Still a bit of wind, but it's officially kind of that downward slope towards the end of the year. It's fantastic. Yeah. I still can't believe where the year has gone.
September.
I mean, we say it every year, but...
September.
Damn.
Every year, what does Pink Floyd say in that song? Time, every year is getting shorter. Or something like that. Never seem to find the time.
Yes. There was actually a very interesting graph online that I saw as to why that happens. It's just to do with memory and how you perceive time. It's very interesting.
Very interesting.
Anyway, we digress.
We do digress. We are here to talk about technology, but before we get into this week's news, and there is one heck of a lot of news to talk about this week, let's do our quiz.
The first question. Apple has invited the media to a special event at its campus in Cupertino to announce the new iPhone models. When will this happen?
And I will be glued to my screen when that happens. The public protector has ordered the USASA board, now fired, to reappoint the agency's suspended CEO. Who is he?
Third question. MTN share dove this week after the Nigerian central bank ordered banks to repatriate how much money the telecommunications group removed from the country between 2007 and 2015.
MultiChoice this week named the successful bidders for a new 24-hour news channel on DSTV, as my phone goes berserk in the background, to replace ANN7 Afro Worldview. What's the new channel called?
And the final question. South Africa will next week play host to its first ever international telecommunications union event. In which city will this take place?
ITU event, and I shall be down in that particular city, almost said the answer, for that event. We'll have full coverage on Tech Central. Right, my phone is on silent, so let's proceed with the show. And there is so much to talk about this week. I haven't known a week with such big news stories in quite a few months. And of course, that makes me very happy because it means great traffic for the website and lots to talk about on the podcast this week. But let's start with the lead story in the Sunday Times today. Really, really interesting. The headline is CIA alerted SA to Gupta nuclear danger in 2009. Mm. Now, it wasn't that which really grabbed my attention in the story, but rather a conversation that the Sunday Times journalist Ranjeni Munisamy had with Sipiwe Nyanda, the former communications minister. And we know that Nyanda was fired back in 2010 by Zuma and replaced with Roy Padiachi in that portfolio. And what really intrigued me about this was some of the remarks that Nyanda made to the Sunday Times, suggesting that he was removed because he refused to have dealings with the Guptas. Particularly, he said that the Guptas were trying to, and Zuma's son Duduzane were trying to meet with him, and he rebuffed these requests. And the suggestion he's made in the article is that he was effectively removed because he wouldn't do the Guptas' bidding. Now, this brought back a lot of memories for me, meetings and events I attended around that time. In fact, around early 2011, I drove up to Rustenburg, I think it was on a weekend, for a colloquium that Roy Padiachi had called with industry leaders. There were all the major telco CEOs were there, for example, Coral Pienaar, who at the time was running MTN South Africa, the Vodacom Group CEO, Peter Ace. I remember that Craig Venter, the then CEO of Altec, flew in by helicopter. And there were a lot of top executives there for this meeting. I was kept waiting outside for some time while the meeting was underway. It was closed to the media, but was called in for the report back session to talk about what was discussed. And I walked into the room, and who was sitting there amongst all of these CEOs and with the minister was one Atul Gupta, who I knew of at that time. It was the first time I actually met the guy. He was, of course, running Sahara Computers at the time, the now defunct Sahara Computers. And I always thought it was a bit odd that he was there. I've written a column about this today on Tech Central. The Sunday Times story prompted me to do so because it just brought back these memories of that meeting, as well as a subsequent meeting that I had with Atul Gupta at ANN7's offices, where he spent 2 hours with me talking about why the media was treating him unfairly and why the family is doing good work in South Africa and creating jobs, et cetera, before he offered me the opportunity to run my own TV show on ANN7, which I did not take up. So this colloquium happened, and I remember watching Atul Gupta in this meeting, and he had this grin on his face the whole time. The best way I've thought about it subsequently, and I've often thought back to that colloquium, was, you know, he looks like the cat that got the cream. And as I put it in my column this morning, he looks, you know, he looked like the naughty kid who knew he'd done something wrong and knew he was probably going to get away with it. It was just that expression on his face, which I found so intriguing at the time, and that grin has stayed with me. But this insinuation by Inyanda that he was replaced because he wouldn't deal with the Guptas raises questions about whether Roy Padiachi, who I always thought was a good minister, was doing the Guptas' bidding. We don't know the answer to that question, but it was certainly intriguing that he saw fit to hire or to bring Atul Gupta or invite Atul Gupta to this heavyweight meeting of major CEOs. After all, Atul Gupta was leading what was a very small IT distribution business. In the grand scheme of things, he was a fairly small player in the IT industry, but yet here he was sitting next to people like Peter Ace and Nombolelo Mohodi, who was the CEO of Telkom at the time, and he was given equal place at the table. It always struck me as a bit odd, but I always got on with Padiachi. He was always available for interviews. He was very personable, very likable. Yet I always wondered about the fact that Atul Gupta was at this meeting. And now, given Sipiwe Nyanda's comments to the Sunday Times this morning, it kind of all starts to fit together, and has made me wonder whether Roy Padiachi was at the very least maybe taking instructions from his boss, the president at the time, Zuma, to give Atul Gupta and the Guptas favored nation status. It's intriguing stuff. I really hope he wasn't, because he was a nice guy. But at the very least, the fact that the Guptas was there would suggest to me that perhaps he didn't have the backbone to stand up to his boss and say, no, these guys can't be here.
Yeah, sadly, I think so many of these stories coming out about all this corruption and the Gupta takeover is people being pressured into things. And I'm not saying that, I'm not justifying what a lot of people did, but when you're pushed into a certain position, you know, everybody, I guess, has got a breaking point, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's for money or for, you know, standing up for the good of it, lose your job or...
Yeah, but it was always crazy. It was always unclear why Nyanda was removed. It was never the full story was never told, but this Sunday Times story certainly introduces some new dimensions to the whole situation.
And it's unfortunate that history will reveal the truth, and we can't get to all of these details right now. Yeah. You know, to get to the rot, because we still have so much of that rot in the wrong places.
Will we ever get to the real truth on this? Because after all, Roy Padiachi passed away a few years ago. So if there were any secrets there, he's taken them to his grave. And is Zuma ever going to be cross-examined on these things? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting story in the Sunday Times today. And go and have a look at the column I wrote. It was that meeting I had with Atul Gupta at ANN7's offices a few years ago was a bit strange. Let's put it that way.
You posted a photograph too that you're talking about.
I did. Yes.
The smile.
Oh, the smile. Yeah, I captured it. He was sitting directly in front of me, and I took a photo of him. He was looking down with a sheepish grin on his face. He really did look like a naughty school kid.
But it was so out of place. I mean, Zara Computers back then was
tiny,
not a very big player. Yeah. Just as well, I pitched up there and was part of a really meeting that I'm not supposed to be at. It's strange.
But yeah, he was there. But interestingly enough, they all went outside afterwards to all the leaders with the minister went outside to have pictures taken. And Atul Gupta didn't make himself available to be part of the picture, which it was also a bit odd, I thought.
Look, I'm sure the planning with any of these kind of things, at some point you need to introduce the face. You need to start introducing that person. And I'm sure that this was obviously the early days of that.
Yeah.
Seems like PR, you know what I'm saying? Put somebody there just so that people start seeing them, maybe asking some questions. And the next time you see them, it's not so out of place.
Yeah. I remember walking into the room after, or when I was invited in for the report back session, and while people were milling around, I remember, I think it was Carl Pinar from MTN who came up to me and was standing next to Atul Gupta, and he said to me, have you met Atul Gupta? And I said, no, I haven't. I shook his hand, and then I think Carl Pinar said, I'm surprised you haven't met him yet. it was all a bit uncomfortable, actually. But he shook my hand, and yeah. Anyway, a lot has transpired since then. That was back in February 2011. A lot of water has passed under the bridge, and of course we've had the Gupta leaks and president removed from office and everything else that's transpired in between. But what a mess! And watching the State Capture Commission doing its work, it's been busy for about 2 weeks now. Some of the testimony that's coming out is absolutely shocking.
Is that broadcast anywhere, by the
way? It is broadcast, yeah.
It
is broadcast.
Where can you watch it?
I've been watching it on DSTV Now, so via the news channels like SABC News and ENCA, but I think it's on YouTube as well.
I'm sure. Yeah, it must be on YouTube if it's on SABC.
Yeah, SABC puts all its stuff on YouTube. But yeah, I'm sure it's online, but even if not, it's on the DSTV channels. So, staying with controversy, the next other big story this week, which we've been breaking on Tech Central throughout the week, in fact, is USASA, or the Underserviced Access Area Agency of South Africa. I think that's what it stands for. This is an agency that was set up more than 20 years ago, really to take money from the operators and to use it to bridge the digital divide and provide services in rural areas. It's done very little. It's been through crisis after crisis after crisis, and I'm very sad to report that they are in another crisis. You'll remember earlier this year that Lumkum Timde, the CEO, was suspended by the board based on a number of quite serious accusations, which he has rebuffed or claimed are false. This week, the Public Protector put out a report. It seemed all rather hasty to me that she investigated this whole thing so quickly. But she put out a report which was damning about the current board, which has now, in fact, been fired by the telecommunications minister, Siyabonga Ngcwele. But Busisiwe Nkwabane, who's the controversial public protector, I must add, put out this damning report saying that the board acted unlawfully in proceeding with a disciplinary hearing against Lumkum Timde because he made a protected disclosure to National Treasury, the Auditor General, and the Telecommunications Minister about the board. She said by suspending him and proceeding with a disciplinary inquiry, put him in, I forget the exact terminology, but put him in an unfair position when the Protected Disclosures Act, in fact, precluded the board from doing so. That report came out, I think, I saw it on Thursday, I think it was. It was Thursday, yes. And then it emerged that later that day, even, the Minister of Telecommunications, Siyabonga Ngcwele, fired the board, led by the chairman, Mawethu Tawe. I think it's Tawe, not Kawe. So they were removed. So it looked like he was moving quickly to deal with the public protector's report, which was really damning about these directors. The directors, however, received a statement from them late on Friday night, which I, for reasons I won't explain, I wrote up at 3 a.m. on Saturday morning. long story, but the story went live very early on Saturday morning. But they put out a statement saying that basically making a number of accusations, saying that the minister has been protecting Lumkum Timde and that the public protector's report is full of inaccuracies and that she may have acted to protect Timde rather than working in the interests of the public, which is her mandate. And they are now taking both her and the minister to court to challenge their dismissal as board members. In the meantime, the minister has appointed a new board, and Lumkum Timde, according to the public protector's report, must be returned as CEO before the 4th of November, which is on Tuesday this week. So an absolute shambles. I don't know where blame lies in this. Probably blame lies with everybody. But this organization has just lurched from one crisis to another for the last 22 years. And I do wonder if it's time to simply close it down. It's achieved little. Yeah. It's just been mired in controversy and lawsuits and et cetera, et cetera.
It's costing more than what it's giving back.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, maybe there is an argument that there needs to be some sort of function like this, but whether it needs to be a separate independent agency with its own board, I don't know. Maybe it's just something that's managed within the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. But yes, it's a drain on taxpayers' money. It's a joke. It's achieved very little, be it the telecommunications operators have contributed billions to it. It just seems to lurch from one crisis to another. I would argue that this situation is untenable, and that rather than simply appointing a new board and pretending that everything's okay with this organization, let's carry on, hoping it'll be fixed when over the last 22 years it hasn't been fixed. I think it's, you know, what was Einstein's definition of madness? Doing the same thing again and again and hoping for a different result. I think that applies very clearly in the case of Wasasa. My gut feel on this one is shut it down. It's put it out of its misery. I'll no doubt be hearing a lot more about this at the ITU conference next week. It's certainly topical, and all the politicians are going to be down there, so I'll be sure when I bump into them in the corridors to get their views on exactly what this all means and where this is going. Lumkum Timde is very close to the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. He's a loyal member of the ANC. Maybe there's some truth to what the board is saying about the minister protecting him. And we certainly know that Busisiwe Mkhwebane, the public protector, hasn't exactly covered herself in glory either. So it's entirely possible that this report is problematic. Anyway, we look forward. Once again, it goes to the courts to sort out a mess that the government itself can't fix.
Costing more money.
And
not going to the right places.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, there we go. Another. I was very tempted to pick them as our loser of the week, but our next news story is actually our loser of the week, is just because of the scale of it. But before we get to that next story, we're going to take a quick ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Are you a search engine? Because you found me.
I feel we have a strong connection.
Well, you're pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Should we drop it like a hotspot and head back to yours so we can show Max and snuggle? Let's get Giga with it.
But I don't have fiber.
Don't get caught in 50 shades of delay. Broadband your horizons and switch to Vox's super-fast, super-reliable fiber network. Experience the momentum. Connect your world. Visit us at vox.co.za/fiber.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Welcome back to the show. How's it, Rehat?
How's it, Duncan?
So it seems to be the bad news show this week, actually. Not intended that way, but there's so much drama going on. MTN.
Oh, drama's the right word.
MTN's share price fell by nearly a quarter at its worst point earlier this week when Nigeria's central bank put out a statement saying that they are not only fining the several banks that operate in Nigeria $16 million, but they are also demanding that the banks return dividends paid by MTN to the tune of $8.1 billion. That's the current exchange rate, I think, is around 120 billion rand, because the banks allegedly failed to comply with some bureaucratic requirement of how they file papers when doing forex transactions in that market. Now, MTN share price got absolutely hammered. I went to see Rob Shooter, the group CEO of MTN, the day after all of this broke, and he was amazed that this has happened. It seemed really it came from left field. Not so much that there were issues around compliance with the regulations in Nigeria. Apparently, that's been they've been dealing with this for some time, and perhaps the $16 million fine levied on the banks related to this is fair. But for the central bank then to demand the return of all dividends, all profits taken out of Nigeria for the period 2007 to 2015, or $8.1 billion, smacks of a shakedown by the Nigerians. We know that Nigeria is a troubled country. We know that its economy is in serious trouble. We know that its president seems to spend more time out of the country than in. It also seems that various agencies and bodies in Nigeria don't talk to each other. But this is all so bizarre. It really does sound like some sort of shakedown. Now, whether this is, I don't know, some sort of finder's fee for someone who reported MTN for these alleged transaction or discretions, or the banks and MTN, whether there's a fixer behind the scenes, or whether this is an attempt by the central bank to try and balance its books. We all know that they've got foreign reserve problems in Nigeria, with the oil price having collapsed a few years ago. But I think what the net result of all of this is that not only have they damaged MTN and affected a lot of shareholders in South Africa, and there are millions of shareholders who have direct or indirect stakes in MTN, including government workers through the PIC who own 15% of MTN's equity. But Nigeria has also shot itself in the foot, because what investor is going to look at Nigeria now and say, okay, we want to invest in this country if this is the way that business gets treated? Now, I've had a lot of people on Twitter saying to me, well, MTN had it coming to them. They're a bunch of con artists. They're ripping off their customers, high data prices, blah, 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 blah. That's not the point. The point here is that this amount that they're demanding to be returned is ridiculous. And what it's going to do is, they're going to the banks. They're not going to MTN. They're going to the banks operating in Nigeria that did these transactions, and they're telling the banks that the money has to be returned. In other words, they want the banks to put the pressure on MTN to pay the money. First of all, MTN isn't going to give that money to the banks. Secondly, the banks are going to take one look at this and say, well, stuff you. And I think there's a very real chance that the banks will say, well, we don't want to operate in a market that behaves like this, in a regulatory environment where you impose these sort of sanctions on companies. And we've got the example again of MTN a few years ago being fined $5.2 billion, that was later reduced to $1 billion. But $5.2 billion, it was the largest regulatory fine in telecommunications history by order of magnitude anywhere in the world. So
was that a justified? It was again a bureaucracy.
I think they were right to be fined because they didn't comply with the regulation. But the scale of the fine just seemed to be out of all kilter with anything. And maybe they were sending a message to the market for people to avoid this sort of thing. But this sort of thing also scares away investors, and you don't want to scare away investors. What happens if the banks say, well, geez, we can't work in this market, let's pull out? If you don't have foreign banks in your country, and foreign investors don't even have a way of coming in, really, I really think that I don't know why the Nigerian Central Bank has done this, but it makes no sense. And I really think Nigeria shot itself in the foot, and it's going to impact severely on their ability to attract foreign investment in future.
Yeah, Africa really needs to step up its game. I mean, it's one of the largest continents. I mean, America can fit how many times into this continent? You know, we've got so much potential here. But again, the money seems to be the big issue. It's like the money is the biggest evil in Africa because it's driving the wrong things the wrong way. And clearly behind this, you know, it's in somebody's interest to make money where they see an opportunity and kind of things get a little bit out of proportion.
Yeah. I guess it'll come out in time to understand exactly why they did this, but there must be someone pulling the strings behind the scenes. I can only think that.
Yeah, who stands to gain? I would certainly. Well, exactly. Where does the money go?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
I was MTN, I would certainly think long and hard about, I mean, I'm sure it's a very profitable market for them, but, you know, do you also need to make a stand as a business and say, we're not going to be standing for these type of practices?
Yeah.
And let the people speak at the end of the day.
Yes. Yes. But MTN taking a massive smack. It did recover some ground on Friday. I think it closed up about 3%, but it was still down something like 16 or 17% on the week. I'm sure Rob Shooter and the executive team there who've been working hard to recover from the last fine in Nigeria must be extremely angry about these latest developments. But they don't really have the opportunity. I mean, they're not really in the position to pull out of Nigeria either. It's their biggest market by subscriber numbers. And who's going to buy it if there's a threat over the company's head? But what I think it also has done, by the way, is put the planned MTN Nigeria listing in jeopardy. You know, that was one of the agreements they reached in the reduction of the fine over the SIM card registrations. Now, you impose a fine like this, they're getting ready to list in Lagos. Now, I spoke to Rob Shooter, and he said, well, this complicates matters. I think he's being diplomatic. It's not only complicates matters, I think it puts the listing in very real jeopardy. So again, they've shot themselves in the foot because the listing would allow ordinary Nigerians to invest in the largest foreign investor in that country, and that listing is now in jeopardy. It's just so stupid. It really is stupid.
Well, the flip side of the coin too. I mean, if whoever is behind the scenes knows that. You know, they obviously everybody knows that this is MTN's biggest market. That means that they can push the boundaries a bit because they know MTN won't pull out so easily.
Yeah,
and MTN has a lot more to lose. So how far can they push MTN before MTN says no? You know, before MTN pulls out. And I think if what you're saying there, it means MTN won't pull out.
Well, push them hard enough. Push them hard enough, they will. That might be left with no option.
Well, how hard do you have to pull? Yeah, no. How hard do you have to push them, though? That's the question.
Yeah.
And Nigeria is certainly pushing those boundaries,
without a doubt. But let's move on to some more happy news. We do have some happy news on the list today, and it comes courtesy of Apple. we've been speaking
because
about
you can't
this.
Wait for your next upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for those new. I can't wait for those new iPad Pros. I still don't know if I'm going to get the iPhone. I'll wait to see what they look like. But there've been plenty of leaks in the last week, and Apple this week also sent out the invites as expected to the event. It said something like "Gather Round," and there was a round circle, I think, denoting Apple's new campus in Cupertino.
It looks like that building of theirs.
It does, yeah. I don't think there was anything more to read into that round shape. I think it was just their building.
I think it's because it's the first event in that building, right?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the first one? I think they might have done one there a few months back. I think.
Oh, no, you're right. No, they did have something else.
So the Steve Jobs Theater, and the announcement will be on – the keynote will be on the 12th of September at 7 p.m. South African time. I think I'm still going to be in Durban then, but I will have to find a Wi-Fi connection and watch the live stream. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they announce. Although we know what's coming in the iPhones now. It's leaked. They've even leaked pictures of, I think it was 9to5 Mac leaked images of the product this week. It looks nice. I'm not sure about the image of Jupiter. I think it was Jupiter on the screen that they used. It made the phone look like it bulges because of the sort of aspect ratio of it. But the phones look nice. It wasn't a proper view of them. It was a side-on view. But it's the iPad Pro that I'm more interested in seeing, and those haven't leaked yet, which does make me wonder whether they're actually being announced at this event or in October at another follow-up event like they sometimes do.
Yeah, we don't know, hey? But yeah, I agree with you. It looks fantastic. But I'm not really as excited anymore, to be honest. It looks the same.
It does. How different can you make it?
The announcement event every September is an event. It's kind of like in the tech world, it's always been kind of a bit of a hoo-ha, you know? It's always nice to be kind of just tune in, even if you kind of know what's happening.
Yes.
They might mention one or two things that would not, they would obviously have things that would not have leaked, some announcements, you know, feature-wise or collaborations or new tech they're working on. So I think in general, it's a good event always to kind of look forward to. But the devices itself, but also devices in general, I think I'm pretty bored with smartphones. It's not really anything that's made me want to get it. That's why I'm off my contract and I'm, you know, not looking for a paid for upgrade to a new device.
You know, what I find exciting about this, iPhone announcement that's coming is you know, I like big phones, which has always attracted me to Android, because the Android manufacturers have delivered that. The iPhone has always been too small for me. Even the iPhone 10 is a little on the small side for my liking. With the 6.5-inch one coming, I think that I'd have to give it serious consideration this time around. I didn't like the iPhone 8 Plus because the bezels were huge. It looked like an old phone even before it came out. The iPhone 10 was a bit on the small side. So the idea of this iPhone 10 S Plus or whatever it's going to be called intrigues me. It's probably going to be ridiculously insanely expensive, and I'd probably be wasting my money by going for that instead of an Android device. But I don't know. I might lean in that direction. But I'm certainly going to get the new. I'm certainly getting the new iPad Pro.
And on that day, we will forever declare that day, this is the Duncan converting to Apple day.
Converting back, because I used to use an iPhone many years ago.
Converting back,
Yeah.
Still, it's a big move. Look, I mean, I do look forward to seeing the devices, and I'm sure they will be fantastic as Apple products usually are. I'm looking forward to seeing what that. And then, but wait, there's more type of moment. That'll be quite cool if they have one of those.
I don't know what they'll do this year because everything seems to have leaked. Maybe they've held something back. Maybe a new HomePod speaker or something. But that wouldn't be that exciting.
No.
So we're expecting Apple. We know Apple Watch and iPhone are coming. They'll, of course, talk about iOS 12. The strong rumor is the new iPad Pros will be announced as well. They might just be pushed out to October. Are we expecting anything else? That's it, really, hey? Oh, maybe a new. The rumor of a new MacBook Air with Retina display. That hasn't been refreshed.
Yeah, it's been a long time due for that. You see, that's where Apple kind of disappointed me over the last. I mean, as you know, I was a big fan and I used all of their devices, but there was nothing. The MacBook range, there was nothing there. The latest updates with the touch bar and all those fancy schmancy things, and less battery life, less upgradability. I appreciate the products for what they are, and they really are fantastic if you work in a big corporate and there's somebody else footing the bill. But for everybody else, it's not been a realistic upgrade path. Especially for creatives or freelancers in that kind of environment, they were all MacBook addicts many years ago, right? But the upgrade path wasn't there. I mean, fortunately, the devices last quite a while, so you could keep your MacBook for a few years before you need to. But eventually, you need to buy something new. And when you do, there was nothing there. And I don't know. It almost seems like they lost their way just focusing on the phones rather than their other business units.
No, they got a bit arrogant, I think. The MacBook, that new fancy MacBook that has only one connector on it, it's just, they're just saying, They're being arrogant. That's ridiculous. And by the way, I like Windows 10. I use it across my laptop, my desktop, on everything. I use it on my TV. I like the operating system.
I love it. Me too.
And, you know, if I needed a new laptop today, I would not get a MacBook. I'd go out and find a Windows machine because I can do more with Windows than I can with a Mac.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, if you have everything Mac and, you know, your life, you live within that walled garden, then Apple is fine and you can do a lot as a consumer and maybe a little bit of a higher-end PC user. But, you know, for the rest of us who are really trying to be platform agnostic, you know, it's difficult to do it from within that walled garden. It's much easier to do it from a Windows environment to switch over and do various things on platform. But I've got a couple of drives here that I'm sitting with, like some backup drives that was all linked to my MacBook. So they're all formatted on macOS. And I need an app, a very cool app that I picked a few months ago, I think, that allows me to read those partitions. But now I can't use those drives on any other computer in the house if I want to back up data. So now I'm trying to – it's 10 terabytes worth of data. So now I need to figure out how – so it's kind of just created a bit of a problem within that walled garden. You know what I'm saying? It's a silly thing to file format that's on these drives is obviously linked to the Apple platform. So it's little things like that that kind of gets you in the end where you don't have that problem with Windows.
Yeah, so that's our news this week. Will you be watching the keynote?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, it's an event. It's you know, get the popcorn, get a whiskey in hand or a beer. Or whiskey because it's more, you know, it's more appropriate for the expensive price of these Apple devices.
A nice bottle of scotch.
Feel like a rich man while you're watching the keynote. But, I mean, look, they do, for the grief that I give them and the love that I have for them, you know, they do set industry standards every year or trends.
Like,
you know,
notches.
Yeah, like notches, without a doubt. I just wish the industry as a whole would – they can push the boundaries and do thinner and smaller and lighter, and I'm sure everything will eventually get to that. But, you know, give us battery life or give us better screen or, you know, just give me some more specs in. Give me a little bit of upgradability. A lot of Windows-based notebook manufacturers do it very well these days. If you look at the gaming side, a lot of those guys push the boundaries. And produce really good notebooks. And that's why Windows obviously has become popular for that platform. Apple can do it with a lot more flair, I think, but they're not going into that. They're going into kind of, here's one motherboard with everything on it.
Yeah.
And they also very much restrictive on that upgradability, on even replacing things if something breaks.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do it. You can't just go to any shop and get a motherboard for, you know, for any Apple device.
Yes.
But yeah, that's why they're making all the monies.
Yeah, they're making lots of money. $1.1 trillion market cap now. It wasn't just the other day. They went through a trillion. Now they've added another $100 billion. They've added 1.4 trillion rand to their market cap in about 4 weeks.
They could really kill the industry and take it over completely if they drop the prices of all their hardware. Let's say 50%.
Yeah.
Just drop it.
Yeah.
And they'll still be making money. And everybody will convert to Apple without a doubt. I mean, it's the most desirable product. Well, okay, most people would, I'm sure. But it would be a very interesting move if they just go, oh, we've got enough money. Let's just do it.
Their shareholders would kill them.
Oh, yes. There's somebody that needs to make money. Let's follow them. Oh, okay. Now it makes
remember,
sense.
Remember, it's all about money at the end of the day. All about the money.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why the world is in a bit of a rotten place at the moment.
Before we move on, I didn't see this before we started chatting today, but I see you added a story to the news list about NASA, let's talk about it because it looks really interesting. NASA is making an AI-based GPS for space.
Yes, and it's definitely, I mean, there's a lot more that you can read into the story, and definitely worth putting up the link on futurism.com. But now let's take a step back. Now, GPS is everywhere. It's integrated into everything. ATMs, timestamp transactions, you know, your computer, a lot of
everything.
Your smartphone, everything kind of, you know, uses GPS. Nobody pays for it. It's an open system, right? Because military needs to use it, and obviously they've evolved their own. But the problem with GPS is, what if it goes down? Now, sabotage could potentially happen, but it's unlikely. Most likely thing to happen is, let's say, an meteorite or you know, solar flare or something takes out GPS, we'll be in a bit of a predicament, generally speaking. Now, NASA has been working on a kind of a AI-based navigation system that will allow them to use I'll explain the system now, but allow them to basically use a GPS-like system without having to have satellites. So it'll allow them to go to a new planetary body. Let's say they can go to Mars, feed in a few million photographs or a few billion photographs if they need to of the planetary body, and this AI system would then obviously build a globe. And what you would be able to do is take a photograph, and this AI system would then be able to tell you exactly where you are and where you need to go. So it could guide you almost visually. I mean, obviously within this you can then extrapolate data if you need to within that and do a lot of other clever things, I'm sure. But if you now read between the lines here, a lot of this could be, I mean, this could be perfect for planet Earth as well. Imagine imagine you have an app on your phone. It's probably going to be a big app because it's going to store a lot of data.
Yeah.
You can use it offline potentially because the data is there. The AI system just needs to figure out based on the photograph you're taking, match it with a data point in an offline system, and you can have pretty decent offline navigation. I'm sure you can even take photographs of the night sky and it'll basically be able to tell you because this is all using visual data on a planetary body. Now, they did put in they created basically a virtual planet to experiment with this, and the results seem to be pretty pretty conclusive in that it works very well. It made me think about Earth requirements, and we are going to have a problem if something should happen to the GPS satellites. Something coming from outer space is a very realistic thing to happen in, foreseeable future. Especially if you're looking at stuff like solar flares or something like a meteorite. Those things can pass us all the time. I'm surprised they haven't hit anything major yet.
We're just lucky.
It's very interesting to think of it. Yeah, it's very lucky. Space is massive. It needs to be pretty accurate. But there's a lot of stuff that hits our planet that doesn't really get reported on. It's a pretty common occurrence.
Yeah.
And, wrong place, wrong time.
Luckily, an extinction-level event hasn't happened yet. Well, it has.
Yeah.
It's history, of course. The dinosaurs.
It's history, yeah.
But I suppose the Earth has been here for so long and the time frames of stuff, the chances of us getting hit during our lifetimes is relatively remote.
And to be honest with you, we wouldn't know it. These things, it will happen so quickly. We'll be talking, we'll go offline, nobody would know. It'll
be gone.
Yeah, it'll be painless. No more internet problems, no more government corruption. It's
no more Guptas. Yeah. Let the meteorite.
But certainly, well, sorry, go for it.
I was just going to say, let the meteorite land in Sachsenwald.
Yeah, for sure. Just a small enough one, just a small enough. but it's if you're interested in this type of thing, it's worth reading up on GPS in general, because the system is pretty old. It's it can be obstructed very easily. I've read articles where GPS signal can be obstructed relatively easily for whatever reason it needs to happen by accident or intentional, and it could cause a lot of a lot of things, especially in a future world where we have self-driving cars. GPS certainly can't be a part of that. Can't be the only thing that guides you, because it's not accurate in cities. When you drive under a bridge, GPS signal can be a problem.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. But let's move on to our regular features. Winner and loser this week. Our winner is Newsroom Africa, which is the new 24-hour news channel, which will replace ANN7 and Afro Worldview on the DSTV bouquet. It's a company founded by two broadcasting industry relative youngsters, Tokozani Nkosi and Tabile Ngwato. It seems it's going to be quite youthful in its orientation, hence the butchering of the spelling of the name, Newsroom with a Z.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And Africa with a K.
It
irks the hell out of me. This is a product of journalism. Why are you misspelling things? But listen to them presenting at MultiChoice's offices earlier this week, and they seem like quite a dynamic duo. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with. They're certainly not old guard in the media industry. I like the name Newsroom Africa. It's a nice name. Wish they'd spelt it right. It really
See, Africa is cool. You can do Africa with a K, but Newsroom is
must be an S.
Yeah, it must be an S.
Mm.
No, even the kids can't get those. They can't. It's, you're not abbreviating anything. But yeah. I'm just teasing. But yeah, no, it should have been Newsroom.
But there are despite the name, they're the winners this week. Tokozani, nice, Nkosi, and nice. Tabile Ngwato. Look forward to seeing what you guys come up with when you launch early next year. I have no doubt it'll be better than what the Guptas did.
Are they going to do anything online? Are they going to push any online content?
Yes, they're going to be
online streaming.
They're going to be digital first. So I'm hoping that means that DSTV is going to allow them not only to broadcast on DSTV but also to broadcast on the web. I'm hoping.
They should just use YouTube. YouTube is such a fantastic standard. It doesn't cost them much. They just need to upload the content. You know, I think it's definitely the way it goes. Otherwise, you know, I won't be able to watch it, for example. You know, and kind of stuff like this you want to have open.
Yeah, for sure. But then MultiChoice is paying them big bucks, so maybe they'll want them their platform. Otherwise, why pay if you can just watch it for free on YouTube?
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
And our loser this week is MTN. I was tempted to pick the Nigerian government, but our loser this week is MTN because of the impact that the Nigerian central bank's decision had on its share price, which really was a bit of a shocker. What's your pick this week?
So, Windows, one of the things I love about Windows, obviously, is all the things you can do with it. I've been looking at a lot of apps to try and get – there's a certain amount of things that I want on my computer running all the time. You know, when you install something new, there's certain tools you always want to be running.
Yeah.
One of the things I found recently is DUMeter. Now, I remembered using it probably 15 years ago as an application. But DUMeter now, it's basically a little taskbar app that'll give you your upload and download speeds in real time. It's you know, I just always want to know what's happening with my connection. You know, if I'm streaming something or if I'm downloading something or if I'm, you know, anything I'm doing, with Dropbox running all the time, I always want to know what's happening all the time. So DUMeter is a pretty cool app that does just that. There's a lot of settings you can set in terms of colors and what it needs to do and where it needs to display and kind of what data you can pull from it. But, you know, if you're one of those people that also want, you know, real-time info on everything, it also keeps a good record of your machine. So I've got it running on all my devices. So I know how much my notebook is using. It's just interesting stats. You know, I always want to know what my machine is doing. And it's certainly one of the best ones. Now there is it's a 30-day free app. It's certainly not not free for use permanently. Unfortunately,
I'm just looking
up the price here. I'm actually just looking now. I think it's about $30. I think $25.
That's not too bad.
So it's about $300. Now it's certainly a utility I will be getting once my 30-day run out. I actually thought I had a license, but it would have expired. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to check if I can do an upgrade. Yeah.
So at the current exchange rate, $25, that's what's about 16,000 Rand. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah, don't go there. I'll wait a bit before I get there. Yeah,
the rent has taken a massive smack this week. But DUMeter, if it sounds interesting, go check it out.
Definitely go check it out. Now, that's also, I want to actually put out a question. I'm looking for other applications, stuff to monitor, you know, real-time CPU and RAM usage. So if anybody has a recommendation or if you have a recommendation, certainly let us know, because I'm looking, there is a lot of tools out there, but a lot of them are not very good.
Windows 10 has great monitoring tools for monitoring hardware resources.
I'm looking for stuff that sits in my taskbar so I can see it.
Okay.
I don't want a window that sits behind Windows. You know, it needs to be running at the bottom next to my clock all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you've got any feedback, send us a WhatsApp, 071-999-1111. And I apologize, I haven't looked at that phone for a couple of days, so there might be some messages sitting there for us. If there are, we'll get to them next week. But 071-999-1111. 071-999-1111 is the number to use. My pick this week is software I've heard about for a long time but never actually used until about a month ago, and that is Slack. It's really, really good business collaboration tool software, online collaboration software. It's a little bit difficult to describe exactly what it does, but you kind of think of it as instant messenger on steroids for groups. It allows for collaboration, sharing of documents. It works through things that are called channels. And I've been working on some big projects with two groups over the last 4 weeks or so, and it's proved to be a fantastic tool to get things done. And there are paid tiers. I think the paid tier starts at $6 or $7 a month, but the free tier allows you to actually do a heck of a lot. I think once you get up to over 10,000 messages, it no longer allows you to search through older messages. Nowhere near that yet. And I may end up paying for it eventually, but it's really cool, really cool collaboration software. I would tend to use WhatsApp groups for this sort of thing, but it's not that great. This is a proper application that sits either on your phone or on your desktop or both. You can upload documents. It does some pretty powerful stuff. And I know it's been around for a while, and many people listening to the show are probably saying, yeah, of course, we've been using this for years. But I'm fairly new to it, so I thought I'd pick it, and that's Slack. And the free tier is pretty cool, so go check it out if you haven't already. And I think that's our show, apart from our quiz results. Let me do the first question. Apple has invited the media to a special event at its campus in Cupertino to announce the new iPhone models. When will this happen? And that is the 12th of September, and Richard and I will be glued to our screens.
With popcorn and expensive scotch, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll have a beer. I'm not really a huge whiskey drinker.
All right. Second question. The public protector has ordered the USASA board now fired to reappoint the agency's suspended CEO. Who is he? And the answer is Lumko Mtinde.
And MTN share dove this week after the Nigerian Central Bank ordered banks to repatriate how much money the telecommunications group received from the country between 2007 and 2015. And the answer is $8.1 billion.
And the fourth question. MultiChoice this week named the successful bidders for a new 24-hour news channel on DSTV to replace ANN7 Afro Worldview. What is the new channel called? And the answer is Newsroom Africa with a Z and a K. Yeah. LOL.
And last question in the quiz this week. South Africa will next week play host to its first ever International Telecommunication Union event, and I will be there. In which city is it taking place? And the answer is my hometown, Durban. Durban by the sea.
Nice.
Now it's time for our song pick of the week. And Rechard, it's your pick this week. And I'm quite excited to see what you've jotted down here, because this is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, what a classic South African. Is it? It's a South African band.
It is South African, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's South African. Yeah. I was just doubting myself as I tried to call up the band, but then it called up a different one from another country. Anyway, but yeah, I've known the song for so many years, and it's just a classic one-hit wonder, but it's just, yeah, it's entrenched in my memory, and it's the older I get, the better it sounds. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's such a great song. Such a great song. Never get tired of it.
Classic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm, of course, we're talking about Ballyhoo and Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon. So from Rechard and myself until next week, we'll be recording on Saturday next week because I'm off to Derbs for the ITU conference. But until then, take care, and we'll chat to you then.
Ciao, ciao.
One or two pretty ladies, and my heart can't tell me what to do. You there out in space, you seem to be so kind, and your honor, I'm out of my mind. Or am I blind? Man, if there's a man on the moon, can you hear me? Be wise for me.